Gushing like spindle top in 1901, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that knows Victoria's secret. And now, angrily eschewing face masks, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and if you're lazy, then you've come home. You are where you're supposed to be, and we are so happy to have you joining us. Thank you very much, and I want to say thank you also to Drew McMillan, the professional Canadian announcer who told you who we were and who I am. This is Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for at least this episode, if not the next few episodes. Frankly, somebody could get tired of me and say, we don't really need your services anymore. And then you would have to find another Medicare expert to deal with. But until then, I am your guy. And what we are doing here is going to be summed up very nicely in a 30-second radio spot that Randy and I created. Perhaps Randy will play that for us now.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thanks, Randy. Boy, pretty soon I'll just think it and he'll play it, and I won't even have to introduce it at all. But what we're doing here is helping people who are reluctant or fearfully facing the onset of Medicare to come to grips with it, to understand the basics, and to be able to find the information to make their needed decisions without a lot of angst and pain and suffering and agony. And once that experience has passed, they'll look back and they'll say, boy, that wasn't so bad after all. So that's our goal, to help people facing Medicare make those decisions. And helping me do that is Randy Carson, my very excellent, and I say that because Bill and Ted apparently are coming back in another movie, my very excellent broadcast engineer. Hello, Randy.
Oh, thank you for that great introduction, Doug. I do have a question.
When you introduced
Drew as a professional Canadian announcer, was that a professional Canadian, or was it a professional Canadian announcer, or was it a professional announcer from Canada? How'd that work out?
Well, remember how I used to describe Drew and us as being very, very lucky, because Drew either reluctantly or, you know, forgot to ask us for money for his services. And
I know.
We went for about 6 months without paying him a dime. But a couple of things happened. Drew's lovely bride is now with child, and they bought a house, apparently one that a hoarder had owned. And so I thought, okay, we want to keep Drew happy to be making our announcements. So I sent him some money, which makes him professional now. Because
yes.
I plan on deducting that money.
Absolutely.
So I believe we can call him a professional announcer from Canada, which makes him a professional Canadian announcer.
Yes, yes.
Did
and he's also
kind of.
I also was going to point out that he's also a CPA.
He is a CPA.
Which I use as the Canadian party animal.
There, and if he were in the Ontario provincial police, he would be an Ontario party policeman.
Yes.
Because those guys are known as a bunch of killjoys.
Yes, absolutely.
Somebody should defund them.
Yes. Let's not get that started.
No, that's dangerous territory. We don't need to go down that road.
I have ways to handle defunding at my house. So anyway, go ahead.
I've been defunded for years. That's why I'm sitting here talking to you. But anyway, So Drew McMillan we got a thank you note from him just the other day. Hey, thanks for the money. He foolishly thinks it's a housewarming gift. But I'll let him tell his wife that, and that's, we'll all get along better at family gatherings. In reality, that goes on my books, my ledgers, as a business expense.
Yes.
So that I can deduct it. But he said, thanks a lot for the money, and it's very nice of you and everything. And he said, I can't wait to continue recording introductions for your podcast whenever you need me. Well, a month ago, I sent him a whole slug of newly written introductions to record. So yesterday I sent him an email and I said, here is the slug of newly written introductions. Did you miss this when I sent them to you before? And he wrote right back and he said, yes, I did. So thanks for sending them again. I'll get to work on them right away. But he also sent me pictures of their new house, one with it together and the next picture completely gutted. Not down to the studs yet, but all the, you know, a couple of interior walls knocked down. He enlisted his brother's help in starting the rehabilitation. And if I know Robbie McMillan like I think I do, you put a sledgehammer in his hand and everything in the house is going to go.
So is this the wakeboarder?
Yeah, that's the wakeboarder. But
so what is a wakeboarder? What is a wakeboarder doing with a sledgehammer rehabbing a house?
You know, it's using up nervous energy. He's just a guy who never rests.
And he doesn't sit very long anywhere.
He is another CPA, although he does not have the official designation, but he fits right in with all the other Canadian.
Oh my gosh. That's going to be exciting when, when Mrs. Drew goes into, as we say in the software business, download the baby.
Yeah.
I can hear it right now. Drew's recording the last bit of some introductions. He goes, hold on just a second. I'll be done in a minute, honey.
I want a pickle. I want some ice cream. Well, it looks like they're off to a fine start with the new house and the new baby. I don't know which one's going to be finished first. I'm guessing the baby.
The baby will probably, it'll be finished first, I'm sure.
Yeah, judging by the condition, the house looked like it was going to be. But he is going to take some time off and record our introductions, and we will get them here, and then I will listen to them, and then I'll shoot them to you, and you can work your magic. And pretty soon, our loyal audience will have a whole new series of introductions.
So what was his first clue that there might have been a hoarder in this house?
I didn't ask, and I hope never to find out, because frankly, that stuff makes me want to go, bleh.
I was thinking there might have been 47 cats out back.
I've watched every episode of Hoarders, the TV show, and I'll tell you where it really gets bad is when they're in the kitchen, and they open the refrigerator, and you can see that it looks like a chemistry lab in there, you know, with penicillin and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, when I was a little kid, my parents said, apparently, I'm guessing we had mice around. We lived out in the country in Wayne, Illinois. And so my parents, here I am 4 years old. We need a kitty cat. Oh, boy, that's great. I'm going to name him Sylvester. So the cat shows up in a cardboard box. It was in kitty cat adolescence, which means you can't get anywhere near that thing.
Yeah.
My brother went to some farm and got it, came back with it in a box. You could hear it scratching at the inside of the box, like, I'll kill anybody that comes near me. So we put it in the garage, closed the garage door, and he, like with a rake handle, lifted the lid of the box and then ran.
And he came out of there like a house of fire, I'm sure.
Exactly. Well, eventually the cat calmed down and realized it was safe, and so it was less unfriendly. But then at some point we realized that Sylvester was really Sylvia. All of a sudden, all these new cats came to live with us. And at one time, I think we had like 30 cats, but we weren't hoarders. Although, in retrospect, it seems like maybe my mother was a hoarder because she had a lot of stuff. And every time she got more stuff, she would buy a bigger house and move to it. So they wound up living in the house I'm in now. It's like 8,000 square feet. But everything was always neatly put away. It wasn't one of these hoarder deals like you see on TV.
Yeah. Well, the problem with living on a ranch is you have to have a lot of cats. Otherwise, the mice are just going to carry you away. So I think at one point in time, we had, I know this is going to sound, you know, incredible, but I think at one time we had between 40 and 50 cats.
We never got over 30, I don't think.
And my mom, I kid you not, bless her heart, she knew every one of them by name.
Oh, man. Well, they don't seem to all look alike. They do have different color variations and all that. We used to have Harry and David's Fruit of the Month Club.
Yeah.
And they would send the Fruit of the Month entry in wooden crates. And so I was always adding on to the mansion I was building for these cats behind the woodpile. I mean, yeah. We had 4 acres in Wayne, Illinois, because everything in Wayne, Illinois is at least 4 acres. And so we had a big wood pile. My father cut up a lot of wood with no chainsaw. He must have been in terrific shape. And he was always, my mother must not have been that great at, you know, keeping him company, because he was always working his ass off out in the yard on weekends. And but I think he had a big old buck saw, and I think that's what he cut up a lot of lumber with.
Was his middle name Bunyan? Paul
no,
Bunyan?
He didn't have his blue locks that followed him around. Anyway, the reason I mention this, 4 acres, a lot of woods, you know, firewood always available, is that we just pulled the trigger on a house in Wayne, Illinois, probably 2 miles away from the house that I grew up in. And ironically, next door to the identical house on a different road a couple of miles away from it. So I'll be reliving my childhood very shortly.
So the house you put a bid on or closed or wherever you're at, that's identical to another house on the same road or identical to the house you lived up?
I grew up in a house on Surrey Road in Wayne, Illinois.
Yeah.
Our new house, which is not new, it's been road hard and put up wet, so it's going to require a lot of rehab. But it is next door to, meaning, you know, 0.2 mile away a house that is identical in every respect to the house I grew up in.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, over the years, it's been added on to in exactly the same way as my original house was. So it's like I could get really liquored up and not know where I was.
You could show up for breakfast and not know you were in the wrong place.
That's right. Hey, Beaver, where's Mom?
Oh, that's awesome. I love those stories.
More on Wayne, Illinois as time goes by, but it's kind of a magical place. I grew up there with a whole bunch of kids my age, and then some people that were older and some people that were younger. And I swear, you can't get together with any of those people without just story after story after story about how their siblings or, you know, the neighbors were weird and we didn't know it at the time. And
these were
the guys that lit off that skyrocket upside down on the fence post. And I'm just going to say, I'm sure more stories will come to me as time goes by. I bet the audience is just happy as all heck to hear that.
They're just going, oh my gosh, that is really cool information. But I do have one more question. So your house today, how far is it from your house today where you're sitting to the new one?
I haven't clocked it, but I bet it is, you know, considering it's kind of a zigzaggy route, I bet it's 4 to 5 miles.
Oh, it's the same hood.
Oh, it's the same hood. It's the same side of the Fox River. And, I'm just going from St. Charles to Wayne. But Wayne, St. Charles has its own 6 by 6 township. And then Wayne has its own township. So I think 5 miles is probably an accurate guess. I go north, then east, and then north another mile, maybe 4 miles, maybe 6 miles.
Cool. Well, I can't wait to hear more about it.
Well, you're going to hear plenty. You're going to hear way more than you ever wanted to hear about it. But anyway, we came here to talk not about me, not about you, but we came here, and not even about Drew. We came here to talk about Medicare. But because I've been involved in all these real estate transactions, I haven't done a lot of preparation. However, I am in the midst of desk cleaning. I'm trying to get rid of the giant pile of paper I've got hanging around. And so I have some relatively unrelated items that struck my thought process over the last few days. One of them is I am licensed to sell insurance in all 50 states plus the District of Columbia. And it has been my pleasure to have people, listeners to this podcast or readers of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020, contact me, mostly by email, tell me about their situations, and then ask me if I can help them get Medicare supplement plans into place because they're going to retire or they're turning 65. And that is the most rewarding activity I can imagine. I love helping these people. And it's I'm hoping that I can maybe parlay it into a full-time activity. But in the meantime, this correspondence is indicative of kind of a frustration and a little bit of fear that I had. And so I just wanted to share it as a reminder to anybody in the listening audience that thinks they might want to contact me and ask for help or tell me about their situation and ask for advice. I don't have to sell you anything to enjoy corresponding with you about your particular situation or to offer an opinion. It was, selling you puts food on the table, but if I don't have any food on the table, it doesn't bother me that much as long as I have beer in the refrigerator. So by all means, feel free to contact me if the mood strikes. But a while back, and this was in, I want to say, early October, I got an email from a woman, and she said, "Hi, Doug. I'm trying to find information on behalf of my mother-in-law. She's 80 years old and currently on a regular Plan F Medicare supplement." Now, that's going to get to be a pretty pricey plan the more time goes on, since people who are coming into Medicare who are turning 65 in 2020 and beyond are not allowed to get Plan F. So the people that are on Plan F and the people that are eligible to buy it are aging constantly, slowly, inexorably aging. And when people age, I think we all know what that does to their medical budget. Basically, they ultimately, on the average, have more problems and need more medical treatment and wind up having to spend more money on doctors and hospitals and all that sort of thing. So this woman's mother-in-law is 80 years old, and she's on Plan F, which is going to be the priciest plan, but it's the reason we, Randy and I, call it the Cadillac. And in the book, we have a picture of a beautiful Cadillac that Randy dredged up somewhere to illustrate that Plan F is the Cadillac of all Medicare supplement plans. It pays for everything that Medicare doesn't pay. Everything that Medicare approves as a legitimate expense, that plan will pay. But it's got a fairly hefty monthly premium. So a lot of people are thinking, time to save money. Where can I cut back? Who? Medicare supplement. Doug recommended a more cost-effective Medicare supplement. So I'm thinking, as I'm reading this email, that that's probably what I'm going to be suggesting to this daughter-in-law. And she said she needs to switch to a different prescription drug coverage as hers went up recently. Well, we're in the right time of the year for that. This AEP, annual election period, is the time that you want to look at your drug plan to see if it's still the least expensive available for you. She's only on three medications. She has relatively good health, sees the doctor a couple of times a year, no major health issues. I always have to make fun of that word, issues, I'm sorry, other than high blood pressure and osteoporosis. Wondering if a high deductible F plan would work for her, or if there's some other option she should consider, like applying for a G plan. See, this is where I say to myself, all right, I can give them numbers. I can tell them what the costs would be and help them understand what the additional risks are. You always get a little more risk when you have a lower premium, but you most people manage to come out ahead. Because who wants to buy more insurance than you really need? And this is why Randy gave the name high value to the high deductible Medicare supplement plans, because they are really valuable when it comes to reducing your cash outlay and increasing the amount of money that you can keep in your pocket. So anyway, her final question is, I bought your book and thought you would be a good person to pose the question to and purchase a supplement through. Can you help? Thanks for your time. And I said, of course I can help. I said, in order for the best prescription drug plan, I would need to have a list of her drugs, including full and complete name of each, dosage, frequency of each, plus the preferred places to fill your prescriptions. If those are drugstores, I would want to see the street addresses. Do you have any interest in mail order as a way to obtain the prescription? Second, depending on where your mother-in-law lives, there would likely be a medical questionnaire involved. The new insurance company would want to have a picture of her current state of health. As a first step, it would be helpful to obtain some basic facts about her with the attached questionnaire. Please leave blank any items you feel uncomfortable about sharing the details of, but the more I know about her, meaning your mother-in-law, the more likely I will be able to help. I will wait to receive this information in order to see whether I can be of service to her. Thanks again for writing. Okay, so I wait and 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 I wait some more. And then finally, I'm thinking to myself, this is desk cleaning day. I should probably send a follow-up to see if this woman has lost interest in having me help. So I did that. And I said, this is just a follow-up in case you missed my previous answer to your question. I think that was about like 2 weeks after she originally wrote me. And she wrote me back and said, OMG, I found your correspondence in my spam folder. That's the lesson for today. Check your spam folder because I am never going to ignore you. So this woman with her mother-in-law, 80-year-old mother-in-law who wants to change plans to save some money, had thought that I just ignored her. And the lesson here is check your spam folder. If you write to me and you don't hear from me within like 24 hours, it would be highly unusual. I'd be traveling or something and not able to respond right away. Otherwise, I will have responded to you, but my answer might have gone into your spam folder in your computer. And I don't want you to think I would ignore you. So please check that out before you get concerned or before you give up on ever hearing from me. I got an email request from a gentleman probably a week ago, and it said, Dear Mr. Jones and staff. And I did not correct him. Yeah, Randy's going, I'm the staff. I did not correct him and say that the staff is out to lunch or they don't exist, because I wanted him to think I'm a big, important dude.
I'm staff.
You are staff. You're on a different payroll system than the rest of the staff, though.
That's right. Well, we are national, so I'm the West Coast staff at the moment, and you're the Midwest staff.
There you go.
We're spread all over.
We are between Randy and I, we cover 1,800 miles of territory, and then frankly, add all the other states in, and you got a major responsibility. Each of us consider ourselves to be the equivalent of a major staff. But this guy said, Dear Mr. Jones and staff, I said, speaking on behalf of my staff, I hope it's okay if I was speaking for you, Randy, when I responded to his question.
But, oh, absolutely. Now, what did you say on my behalf?
But I said, listen, let's fire the staff and save some money.
What do you think? Let's save some money. This guy doesn't get up early enough. I'm already, halfway through the day before he ever hits the email.
Oh, I had a whole list of complaints.
Oh, I know.
But anyway, I wanted to also mention, not only will I never ignore someone who writes in and asks for help about Medicare, I also wanted to mention that I am licensed in Missouri with Anthem. Anthem started out as Blue Cross of California, and then it became Unicare. And in other states outside of California, they operated as Unicare. And somewhere along, I was their regional manager in Chicago for a few years. And somewhere along the line, they morphed into Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield in many, many states, like 12 states or something. They're a big operation. And so I get stuff from them pertaining to their operations in Missouri. And So I just got a little reminder here that why Randy and I don't like Medicare Advantage, or as Randy calls them, Medicare Disadvantage plans. We are looking at I am looking at a circular letter that came out from Anthem on October 21st. And this is for people in Missouri that are insured by Anthem. And it says the Cape Girardeau Surgical Center will leave our plans networks and your clients' plans on November 25th, 2020. Now, here is an excellent example of why Randy and I do not like Medicare Advantage plans, because the Medicare Advantage plan can change after you buy it, and you're stuck with it for a whole year. But some of the doctors and hospitals and providers that you might want to use can leave the plan when their contracts expire. And you might not know it ahead of time. You certainly wouldn't know it. We talked at great length about a big hospital chain that is a major healthcare provider in the Florida Panhandle and Mississippi and Southwest Georgia. And this was last year. They were going to leave Anthem's network in that area, which would mean many, many fewer doctors and hospitals. And when you are covered by a Medicare Advantage plan, you're limited to the network of doctors and hospitals that they have a contract with. When you buy a Medicare supplement plan, like I advise people to buy and like I sell, a Medicare supplement plan doesn't have any network. It contains all doctors in the United States and possessions that will accept Medicare patients. And I'm told that's something like 93% of all doctors. If you're covered by a Medicare Advantage plan, you're going to have a small percentage of all the doctors in the country, because you're going to be limited to a network located in a certain geographical area. And if you travel outside of that area, let's say you have a winter home somewhere, and you go to that winter home and stay for 6 or 7 months a year. If you decided you needed treatment, but it wasn't a medical emergency, then your Medicare Advantage plan will not pay for that. Maybe it'll be pain relief or something, and maybe you put in a claim to your Medicare Advantage plan, say, hey, I went to see a doctor not in your network because I was at my winter home, and I stubbed my toe and it was killing me, and I wanted to go have a podiatrist take a look to make sure I didn't have something serious wrong. And the plan could write back and say, dear Mrs. Smith, sorry you stubbed your toe, but we're not going to pay for that podiatrist visit because we don't consider that to be an emergency that required immediate treatment. So have a nice day and, sayonara. So this is why when I hear about things like the Cape Girardeau Surgical Clinic leaving the Anthem Network, this means that they're telling me that if you've got clients in the Cape Girardeau, Missouri area, frankly, you better call your clients and tell them that they're SOL if they have services performed by the Cape Girardeau Surgical Clinic. They're going to have to pay for them themselves out of their own pockets. So that's kind of like bad news. And when you tell clients bad news, what do? They look at you and go, hey, you're the guy that sold me this crapola. I want different crapola right now. And sometimes you can't do that. You can only give them that crapola at the next AEP, which might be a long time away. So
this reminds me of when you go into a new company, and they're being purchased, they're being absorbed into another company, and they take you into this big all-employee, all-hands-on meeting, and they go, okay, so all you people that are going to the company holiday party, stand up. And then they look at you and they go, not you, Randy.
Wow. Ooh, that's cruel. That's harsh.
So they're like, all you people in Cape Girardeau that use the Cape Girardeau Medical Services Unit,
raise your hand.
All of you guys stand up and tell us how happy you are with it and that you're going to be sticking with it. And they go, yeah, well, you can stick with it, but it's all out of your pocket.
Yeah, hope you like them a lot, because it's going to cost you a lot of money if you go there for treatment.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, there's the, I call it, as you said, the Medicare disadvantage process.
You do.
I also have another one called the old pay nothing, get nothing process.
And that's accurate. when you don't have any premium, then it should send you a signal that, hey, you know, something that you get for free is going to have limited value to you at some point in the future.
That's right.
And like
that's
I say in the book, that's a great medical plan. Medicare Advantage plans are fantastic unless you need to use them, in which case they're not going to be so fantastic anymore.
That's right. So anyway, we've got a couple wrap-up things we need to do. We have eaten up our steam for today.
How did that go so fast?
We need to send everybody to Amazon.com and buy your book. I will tell you now that Doug is beginning to think about next year's book.
Boy, am I thinking.
You need to go to Amazon.com and buy, as we enter the holiday season, have plenty of Doug's Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020 edition.
They make
on
great
hand.
Stocking stuffers for kids of all ages.
Yes, because he added a new page to the front for little kids. It says, "One day you'll thank me."
Actually, what it says is, if Mr. Jones's autograph appears here, this has just become a rare and valuable first edition that your heirs will thank you for.
That's right. Absolutely. So we need to get everybody over there to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. Buy it in paperback, buy it electronically, buy it so you can listen to it, buy it any way you can get your hands on it. And make sure that you do that, because you will have spent your money wisely. Doug tells you the straight scoop, nothing but the truth, so help him God.
Here's one item of straight scoop. The dinosaurs looked at Chuck Norris the wrong way once. You know what happened to them. So a word of warning. I got 101 of these things, folks. You're going to be hearing Chuck Norris.
Oh, my gosh. My gosh. Well, let's go ahead and sign off. Thank you, everyone.
Yes.
Truthfully.
Join us next time on the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast.